Hey, y'all. I'm Allison Asarch from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, I'm Sean Fraser from the Ritzy Kids.
Hunters, this is Johnny from Rail Motor.
Hey, it's Shane from Blind Season.
Hey, it's Rob Stanier, and you can check out my music on all the streaming platforms.
Check out my latest music on all the streaming sites.
Check out my debut album on all streaming platforms.
Check out our new debut album.
Check us out on Spotify and Apple Music. And you're listening to our friends, Braggy and Curly.
My favorite bands from Australia.
My two favorite podcasts is Braggy and Curly.
Braggy and Curly.
On the Unfiltered. Undiscovered podcast.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the return of the Unfiltered and Undiscovered podcast for our very first show of 2024.
Whether you like it or not.
Episode 133. And as you know, please welcome the two legends that I really enjoy doing with this. We got Rossi in Sydney. We got Braggy in Adelaide. How are you, boys?
Excellent, Curly. Boy. Excellent, mate. Well, you're looking well. You're looking
all the
fit,
better for
Curly.
Seeing you, Curly.
Yes.
He's been running again, has he?
Oh, my God. Yeah. He's like, he's Rain Man.
Yeah, the ankle's in better shape, but the hip and back are in shithouse shape is the best way I can describe it. So, yeah, got Tokyo on just done. Sorry?
Who was that farmer? Cliff, what's his name?
Cliff Young.
Cliff yeah. Young and the Gumboots.
Just ran Curly in gumboots, shuffled.
It's Curly.
Yeah, I probably look. He looks better than me running at the moment. So he passed
Tokyo
away
when?
Too.
I picture you more
Tokyo
as like
just over Forrest, 5 weeks.
Picture you more Ooh. As like Forrest Gump, Curly.
Run, Curly,
run, Curly, run.
Run. Yeah, Tokyo absolutely. Will be fantastic. You must be looking forward to that. So
I am so excited to get back to Tokyo. Not so excited to run the race, but happy that we've got a week after that to get over it and to go. We're going to see the snow. We're going to get down to Osaka again. It's just going to be fun. So can't wait. So
maybe you just have to be Sharon's support, you know? Instead of running it and hurting you.
Yeah.
I don't want you to cripple yourself for life. I want you to, yeah.
Oh, no, I'll get through it. It's just obviously I fractured the fibula at the bridge to Brisbane, and that's just thrown my whole body out of whack. So I'll get through Tokyo, and then I'll have some couple of weeks off and then start preparing for the Gold Coast. But, hey, you guys have had big Christmases, and Braggy, before we're going to talk about yours in depth a little bit later on, so I know that you've just had an amazing Christmas break and experience, but Rossi, condolences mate, I know that your Christmas was sort of bookended with two very sad events, mate. And as you know, our thoughts, and if we were together we'd give you a big hug, so
thanks fellas. That's lovely. Most importantly, we lost my mum on the 30th of December, which was a bit sad. It was it's nothing I can say about that.
She had a good knock, Rossi.
She did, 95, and she was extraordinary until the end. And having a mum like my mum was, we're lucky to have a mum like mum. She gave us a very good outlook on life, and just the week before Christmas, we lost a good mate of ours, Richie Hine, who was the drummer from the Screaming Tribesmen from 1987 to 89, and I did hundreds of shows with Rich, and he was a lovely fella, a great drummer, and for us that really hit hard as well, because he's just lovely fella, and we miss him dearly.
Yeah, I can imagine, and unfortunately, as we get older, this just seems to occur a little bit more around us, doesn't it? So
it really, really does. It really, really does. I've got so many Richie stories that I'm not going to tell you.
They'll come out at some point.
Maybe not, actually.
Rossi, just tell us. I was really interested. Just off air, you'd said your mum was an artist, and that really interested me. I didn't.
Yeah, mum didn't call herself not so much an artist. She called herself a painter. She she would have thought artist was a more highfalutin term, but she she always drew. She always painted. She worked in advertising when she was really young, which would have been maybe the 1940s. She worked for an advertising agency called Arthur Smythe. She worked for some jewelers. She always drew. So growing up, we'd be sitting there and mum would say, "Stop, don't move." and she'd have the pen out and she'd be pen drawings, wow. doing line wow. drawings. And that's that so would cool. then become later, and that would later become another work, right? And so about 50, she went back to study full time when she'd raised the four kids. And she then spent the next 45 years doing what she really loved doing, which is painting. And we all loved the fact that mum painted. And I've been to many exhibitions. I've been to many framing places. Mm. I've had many opinions where mum goes, "What do you think of that?" And I go, "I really like that, mum." The next time I come and see it, it's gone. I go, "What happened, mum?" She goes, "I didn't like it. I painted over it."
Oh,
But I mean, that's the same as a musician, isn't it? You know, what happened to that song? Oh, fuck, this is shit. I don't like it.
Well, there's lots of paintings around here. She did mixed media, and she really built the paint up really thick on some of it. And I know that underneath, lurking under that painting, is maybe two or three others that didn't make the cut.
Mm,
Yeah, got a house like of paintings out here.
It's like the layers of a tree, isn't it? You just,
Yes. Yeah. Interesting having someone
or recording
that sort of
over in the days of tape, Curly. Like, you know, how many stones
it's gone forever?
They said, "Ah, no, that was shit. Just record over that."
It's gone. Yeah. Tape was expensive, man.
Yeah,
really was. How much was lost? It's incredible. But that's the thing about art, isn't it? They're like everyone, all creative people, is that you're never happy. You're never happy with what you do. You know you can do better. And there's often something that bothers you about something. And sometimes you just got to let it go and let it get out there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously it's blessed to be around creative people, and we just learn so much about how they work and how they think and how they create and the joy that they get from that. So I can just imagine the life of Rossi being around that sort of a process. So that's awesome. So a little bit of news coming out. Our good friend from Nashville, Alison Asarch, got married over New Year's Day, I think, was the wedding, if I think back, or around that period of time. So she's now a happily married young lady in Nashville, and I'm sure our country correspondent is probably a little bit disappointed with, no, I'm stirring you up, Stewie. But if you've seen the wedding photos, she shared them on her social media. She looked absolutely beautiful and glowing, and looks like it was an amazing day. So congratulations, Alison, from all of us here at the podcast.
And
we hope to talk to you soon and find out what's happening for Al over the next year. The other bit of news is Tamworth is on at the moment, and it seems like there is a multitude of friends of the podcast, right?
Who's Tamworth there, Curly? Who's right going to be now? There that
so
we know?
Two-tone Pony are there. So David Kirkpatrick, son of Slim Dusty, he's already played three or four shows. Laura Frank is there. Up for two awards, one for best song, best female song for Hey Cowboy, and wouldn't that be awesome for Laura?
That would be killer.
She picked good up song that too. Award. Chloe Styler and Katrina Burgoyne are there, and Sweet Talk. And just on Braggies, and Sweet Talk are coming back on the show. We've just got to confirm a date, because as you know, Braggy said that they will win something in Tamworth, right?
Yeah, I did. I stand by it.
I've just seen an article. Braggy, and the article is shows not to miss in Tamworth. And your friends, Sweet Talk, are listed in that with their Saturday, 27th of January, the Tamworth Hotel, 8 p.m.
Are these Curl, just remind me, you two, are these the guys that said that Braggy guy knows his shit?
Yeah, you were you. I say it to myself sometimes. But I don't have the comma. I don't have the comma. That Braggy guy knows his shit.
Oh, it's just that dickhead.
You did have to remind us of that. You love to get that in now that you know that comment.
Especially with that's going to go all year.
I reckon you're entitled to bragging rights. Good call, man. Good call.
Bragging.
I got the name for a reason, you know.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard of Sweet Talk yet, do yourself a favour and get around this six-piece band from the deep south of Melbourne as discerning disciples of some of history's all-time southern blues, country, gospel,
and they're pretty good fun bands too.
Oh, they're good guys.
Unbelievable. So I think that almost constitutes that your tip for 2024 has already come true.
There you go. Frank. You know, the thing about it is that they actually know their shit really well. They're so well educated when it comes to all sorts of music. When we talked to them, didn't they? They knew everything.
But
you know, they knew exactly where they fitted. Yes, Rossi.
To be fair, I said Sydney's going to be the biggest city in the country, and that's right.
Now, I think it was something like we'll reclaim the mantle of the
Did you see what happened on New Year's Eve? Where this thing down the harbour.
I thought
you might have been intent.
I thought you might have said St. George for wooden spoon, Rossi.
So, and of course, next week we have one of those rising young stars, hopefully on the podcast, to talk about how Sydney will reclaim the mantle. So I'm not quite sure who has it at the moment, if it's not Sydney, but anyway.
Whoever it is, they're packing it up and putting it in a truck and it's coming home.
Yeah. And Sydney will just claim people from other states anyway, you know, like Chisel or, you know.
Haven't you ever seen the David Williamson play Emerald City, where everyone moves here and when it doesn't work out for them, they blame Sydney and go home.
But the Johnnies are Sydney or a Melbourne band?
Well,
Ross, you'll claim for Sydney.
Well, it's hard to say because Slim, the guitar player who joined late, was from Melbourne. His family owned the Tote Hotel down there.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Spencer Jones and Hoodie are Kiwis.
Okay. Mm.
And Roddy Radar, who's the original guitarist, Perth.
Roddy Radar.
Wow.
Billy's from Melbourne. So I reckon it might be a bit Melbourne-y, but they did spend a lot of time up here. And
Well,
I used to see Spencer holding up the bar at the old Hopetoun Hotel for many, many years. Hoodie and Spencer were just drinkers beyond belief. So I reckon Johnny's, I'd say though, they're one of those bands that were from everywhere but came together in Sydney. But you know, Roddy Radar was also who's in the Johnny's, who was in the Dubrovniks, who was in the Hoodoo Gurus, he was in
those bands. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was known as the midwife of Australian rock and roll, and that he was always there at the birth.
Midwife? That's good.
But he was also in a band called Roddy Radar and the Surfing Caesars that Chris Mazowieck produced an album for.
Ah.
It's got Bill Gibson.
Right up Mazowieck's alley, surf.
It's got Phil Hall from the Lime Spiders, Bill Gibson from the Lemonheads, Mazowieck, Paul Lee Larson, I think, or it might be Jim Leone from the Celibate Rifles. It's a great record. It's a song called Dynamite Party. It is the most fun thing I've heard.
Yeah.
Roddy is a super talent.
I'm writing that down.
Yeah.
Roddy was, so the Johnnies are from everywhere, but they lived in Sydney.
Mm. They their song Buzzsaw Baby is still one of the ones that just cracked me up. Yeah, just
they
love them.
Do.
And they filmed that they did the film clip in Tamworth.
Did they really? That'd be right. They did. Do you remember the song I Think You're Cute? That was when Roddy was in the band.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
And Roddy's last show was at Narara, which was a festival.
Oh, I know Narara,
And
is that the year it rained, didn't it?
No, 84 rained, 83 it didn't rain. I was at both, and 83 was only Australian acts, and it was sensational. The next year they brought in a lot of international acts, like Talking Heads, the Eurythmics. Narara. My pick, surprisingly, was Def Leppard, who were really good. It was pre-Rick, before the drummer had an accident.
Yeah, and any Angels band would know live at Narara, Angels.
Oh, they were killer that.
I
don't know, because that was when Jim Hilburn joined as bass player, so they'd lost Chris Bailey and Buzz Bidstrup, and they're both out of the band, and sort of us original Angels fans are a little bit like going, oh, I don't know, that American bloke, I don't know. Mm. But it's a pretty good show, that Live at Narara show. When you see the footage of it, it was pretty massive. That night, I remember the Doc was very impressive. God, he was impressive.
Yeah, he was a showman.
What a front man.
He was great. He really, really was.
Yeah. Up there in the world's best. I have done a quiz, Curly.
Yes.
I'm going to try and do one every week, so I've got a collection of them.
And we will get Rossi starting to share some backstage stories as we get a little bit further into the year. But we do have your quiz, which is something new that we're doing for 2024. So the title of this podcast is simply called How Fucking Good Was This? And seriously, the title came to me on Friday night. So the first part of this podcast is simply me talking about what I did on Friday night, and I've got a couple of photos and maybe a little bit of a video to share. But I was just sitting there watching Katrina Burgoyne live at Lefty's and just thinking, how fucking good is this? So
what a great room that is.
Yeah,
because when we talked to her, we were all amazed at how like many things she had going at once, and she was playing for tips, and then she was playing for this, and then she was just like the hardest especially in Nashville worker, coming back home here, and then using this time to write songs. Oh, that's right, I might have a fucking baby in the middle of it, and then
you know, well, I'm doing a bit of a dartboard tour too.
So it was good. She would have been a good showman, Curly. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So Chloe Styler, friend of the podcast, she was on an early episode. She opened the show, and Chloe's just like, I was blown. I was captivated. So let me just very quickly, I'm going to, for the audio listeners out here, I do apologize. You will not see this. So I'm sorry.
Just imagine it.
but hopefully I can describe it well enough for you to. All right, so this is a picture of Chloe and yours truly on the night, but she was amazing. I mean, she just took the stage herself, her guitar and her cowboy boots, and she's tiny, she is incredibly tiny, and her voice was amazing. She started
Can you tell us about your T-shirt?
Yeah, well, I'll get to that because then I'll also tell you about my stubby cooler. So, but captivating. There's no other word I can use. So she started with, and now, just now, the song has, she started with one of her best songs. Consider Me Gone, and like her voice was amazing, and obviously the crowd was there to see Katrina, so you know, I don't know what it's like in that situation. You know, you're opening, but you know most people are there not to see you, but she held the audience. She played Vega Than Vegas about number three into the set. Voice was outstanding. There is no other way I can describe it. And just truly captivating. And then she's now in Tamworth opening for Katrina in Tamworth. So they've obviously got a pretty good friendship, and it was evident. So, but Chloe was amazing, just vulnerable. I would say when she came on stage, she looked so vulnerable. And then you've just got this powerful voice coming out. It's just incredible. So, and always smiling. So fantastic. But let me tell you, Katrina then came on stage, right? So let me just, hopefully this will work. So I'm just going to play a little bit of this. And this is hopefully going to, I might just reset the share. So, and then I'll just play this. So I took some video clips of the night because one of the things that stood out here, Rossi, was I think you made a comment along the lines of when you're playing for tips, you've really got to be good. And, you know, regardless whether we like it or not, the reality is that in America, it is very much the tipping culture. Now, I need to make sure.
Her concept of the hustle culture kept me
interested. That's what you said, yes.
That's
yes.
really interesting, the hustle culture. You know,
yeah,
you've got to keep working at something. And I was talking to some people about that today. It's an interesting concept. We don't have that here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She always had something on the go, eh? Oh, I'm going to be back doing this. I'm thinking of doing that. And her hubby was kind of like all part of that whole.
Steve played in the band. So, and it started with them, the band on stage with playing some, you know, the opening bits to 25 cents in the ashtray, right? Yep. Katrina's at the back on the second floor of Lefty's, so Rossi will know where she's coming from. And then the spotlight hits her, and by the time I'd realised what was happening, she'd already walked past. Now, can you hear that?
Yep.
Yeah. Good sound in there.
Great sound. Cameo coming up soon in my life. And that's Steve on the right. That's the hubby.
My own version in the future. So if you guys know it, please sing along. This is called I'm Coming Home.
Shaz.
I wanna hear you say.
Yeah, so that was a great song to finish on. You can't be my rock if you ain't got the stones. And just the banter she had with the crowd. I mean, she played Rhiannon by Fleetwood Mac. That was one of the first covers. She had a Shania Twain song in there as well.
I could hear that. Could hear that in her voice though.
Yeah, and tight little band, huh? Look, they've been playing for a while.
I don't know if you know, but I'm a gear nerd, right?
What were you picking out?
Firstly, nothing says Brisbane more than a Vase amplifier.
All right. Okay.
Secondly, poor bass player. Something wrong with his bass. It had an extra string on it for a couple of those songs. He was playing a Music Man with five strings on it. I was very worried about that.
Go with that shit.
It's confusing. I don't know how it works. But then he went and played a P bass, was all right. And thirdly, the other thing I did notice was that barricade wouldn't have lasted long with most of the shows I do.
Yeah, so she was
great, man.
Quite impressive. 20 weeks pregnant. 6 months pregnant, I think she was now. She was saying, we had a chat afterwards. So, mate, and she's
not slowing it down.
But it was interesting. Going on. Rossi, my daughter Taylor brought her boyfriend Isaac, and he's from Moree. So, I'd imagine coming from Moree in northern New South Wales, you would know your country. And he turns to Sharon, he said, "This ain't country."
That's that very controversial.
And seriously, when you were there, you would not have known that it was a dedicated country music crowd. It's just music. It's guitars, drum, voice.
Exactly.
But Rossi, how hard is it for a band who just get together for like a tour like that? And I'd imagine you've had the experience with Mazawak last year where a band just comes together to do a series of shows. How tough is that?
They thrive on it, I reckon.
A
guy I know came over from the States called Paul Collins, who was in a band called The Beat, who was in The Nerves. And The Nerves wrote the song Hanging on the Telephone that Blondie did.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Paul Collins came out here and he got two guys who are now in a band called The On and Ons, Glenn Morris and his brother Brian, and a bass player. And they did I was there for the first song of the first set, and I just stood there and just went, how good is these guys? And that's what happens. Musicians can do that. Like that did not sound like a band that's been put together. No way, no how. No. The husband's pretty good though. Like I can hear his vocal too. You hear his vocal?
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff, right?
He's got his guitar down, his sound down too. Yeah.
And that rhythm section they're in the pocket, man. Totally in the pocket.
That's a great standing room though, Rossi, isn't it?
It is. I'll tell you a story about that, how that room's laid out one of these days, but probably off air.
So Rossi mention of my T-shirt, and of course I bought some merch to help support. So this is Katrina's tour short shirt, only available in large. So they've sold out of all their merch during the tour.
That's good.
Fantastic. I got the stubby cooler. I got one for our country music correspondent. Don't tell him, but I may not get to see him. And also Chloe Styler's double. You know how clever she was with Side A, Side B?
Yeah.
There's the CD, awesome. And she signed for me. What a lovely lady. Oh,
that's literally nice. She was a nice kid.
Well done, Curly, for getting out there and, you know.
Merch is where the money is for these guys, you see.
You've got to support them. And Chloe's got a new single coming out in February, and she'll be back on the podcast, she tells me.
That'll be very, very good. I'm looking forward to that.
So,
following her adventures.
Good, we have a few returns. It's good.
So let's break up between the next section and let's do the trivia quiz.
Bragging. Okay, I've made sure that it's going to be hard. It's my ambition to make it super hard, super hard. No bullshit, freaking quizzes from the pub. You know, music quizzes from the pub, like you know. Who sang freaking Back in Black or shit like that. It's going to be hard for you two especially.
And of course, for our listeners,
you got pen and paper. You got pen and paper, boys.
I got paper. I got a window open to type. Computer.
Put these bands in chronological order of when they formed. There's six of them. You ready? The Ramones, the Saints, MC5, the Sex Pistols, Radio Birdman, and the Stooges.
Ooh, I shouldn't get this right. I'm going to get killed.
Ramones,
Saints, MC5, Sex Pistols, Radio Birdman, and Stooges.
In order of when they were formed.
Yeah.
Not when they released their first thing, when they were formed. Which is contradictory. Okay. That's not
going to make it. All within a very tight time frame, but aren't they? Fundamentally.
Maybe.
Okay.
It's pretty close ones there. So that's question one. I'll do three questions. Will I do all of six in a row and then we'll go on to the second?
Yeah.
Okay. Question two. Who is Peter Woolnow? Or Woolnow?
Oh, I know this one.
W-O-O-L-N-O-U-G-H.
Can I say I've seen him perform?
Okay. That's good.
Woolnow. Yeah. It's so familiar. I'm gone blank. But
okay, that's right. Question two. Question three. What do these five songs have in common? Patience by Guns N' Roses. Walk Like an Egyptian by the Bangles. Winds of Change by the Scorpions. Centerfold by the Jay Giles Band. And Jealous Guy by John Lennon. Rossi's too fucking good. I hate it.
I like that one. That's good.
So good. I'm barracking for you though, Curly.
I'm going for Curly too.
You ready? Yep. Question four.
Who's running in the Tokyo Marathon?
Where will you come in the Tokyo Marathon? Question. What's up to four?
Four.
In what year were these musicians born? I'm going to give you five if you want to write them down. Prince. This would be tough. Michael Jackson. Madonna. Paul Weller. And Neil Finn. You have a guess at those?
Yep.
Okay. This is the only question that my wife got completely right. Which rock stars did these models marry? This is going to be good for you too. I have to throw a spanner in the works. You ready for these? I'll give you six models. And you have to tell me who they married. Heidi Klum. It's K-L-U-M. Iman. I-M-A-N. Jerry Hall. Christy Brinkley. Rachel Hunter. And Paulina Pariskova.
Wow. You had to ruin it, didn't you? So can you just do them again for us?
Heidi Klum. She's German. Heidi Klum, K-L-U-M. Mm. Iman, I-M-A-N. Jerry Hall.
Yep.
Christy Brinkley.
Yep.
Rachel Hunter. And Paulina Pariskova. And then we're going to the last. You got all that, guys?
Yep.
And we're going to the last question. What songs are these lyrics from? And I've got five different sets of lyrics. You have to tell me what songs they're from.
You're not going to stuff this one up like you did last time?
No, I won't stuff this up. You ready?
Okay.
Johnny's in the basement mixing up the medicine.
I lost half that one. Try it again.
Johnny's in the basement mixing up the medicine. That's the first one, Rossi. Number two. Here comes Johnny singing I Got a Woman.
Ah.
Number three, poor old Johnny Ray. Number four, Johnny Come Lately. And number five, well, that chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face.
One of my favorites.
And I dedicate that question to one of my best friends in the whole world, Johnny Railmotor from Agnes Water.
That last one?
No, all of them, because they're all Johnny questions. There you go, boys and listeners. Hopefully listeners will...
Okay.
I'm keeping a folder of all these questions. If anyone wants to do a party and they want to do questions, they can inbox me and I'll send them.
So you're going to give us some answers?
Oh, you want answers now as well? Holy shit, you don't ask much.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for it?
Yep. Yeah. This first one will get me, I reckon. I reckon I've got it wrong, but I've got a guess.
Okay. The earliest band was MC5. They formed in 1963.
Yeah.
Okay, you get 1 point for everyone you get in the right spot. And then it was the Stooges, and that was 1967.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I mixed them two.
Okay. And then the Saints, 1973.
Oh, really? Okay. Yep. Got me.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then
the Queenslanders.
Yeah.
Then the Ramones.
The Ramones in early 74.
Yep. Then Birdman.
Radio Birdman in mid 74.
Yep.
And the last was the Sex Pistols in 75.
That's right.
It's an interesting story about punk, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very much so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the MC5 and the Stooges are Michigan, Detroit tied together. Yeah. But like the Stooges took the MC5 kind of had that groove going on. The Stooges then took it off in that direction, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how it's all kind of, like Curly said, it's all kind of bunched up and how that it was just around the world.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no internet then, so people weren't, it just seemed that people were getting pissed off with Thatcher, Joe Bjelke-Petersen, Ronnie Reagan, whoever it was. You know,
I was talking to the young fellas about it because I lecture them ad nauseum about this stuff. And
the first
punk single really released in England was New Rose by the Damned.
Okay,
yeah, and that kind of but Birdman and the Saints were already out there doing it and over there,
yeah, we just didn't call it punk.
No, it wasn't because Birdman weren't punks. Some could say they're almost neo-Nazis, but not really. But, they kind of had that. They had that paramilitary sort of thing going on.
They had that vibe,
which is very controversial about them. Whereas the Saints were just absolute outsiders.
Yeah,
bogan.
But they're probably surfed too. I don't know if Maswak would shoot me down for that. They're kind of a bit surfy, wouldn't you think? Radio Birdman, really, kind of.
Well, Maswak first. He came from Maroubra.
Well, yeah, kind of a bit. There's a bit of Maroubra going on.
Yeah,
it's tough, but it's anyway. All right, Peter Walno is Peter Allen.
The late Don Walno. I knew that name.
I saw his second last show before he passed away. I paid $70 to go to the Hilton, and they sat me next to the fucking mixing desk.
I was lucky enough to play in the Townsville production of The Boy from Oz play bass in the pit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't in the pit actually. The whole band was on stage in like a Hollywood, like a back thingo setting. So anyway.
My mum would share stories about seeing Peter Allen playing around because mum was in Glen Innes and Gyra and Armidale, So the Bee Gees were part of that. They'd play around, and then Peter Allen would play. So she remembers very, very she's no longer with us. Rest in peace, Mum. But she would share all these stories about watching Peter Allen and the Bee Gees when they were just like young men, like 16, 17.
So. What about Thorpey?
She never mentioned Thorpey, so.
Yeah,
too
heavy. No, but he had that 60s sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Poison Ivy and stuff, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Okay. What do these songs have in common? Patience, Walk Like an Egyptian, Winds of Change, Centerfold, Jealous Guy. Rossi.
Whistling.
Correct. We've all got whistling in them.
Hang on. They all had videos too.
Oh. Okay. Half a point for Curly.
So there's my first point anyway.
Well done.
They all have whistling. Fuck, Rossi, I didn't think you'd get that. I tried to pick ones that you wouldn't think had whistling, but they do. Okay, what year were these musicians born? Prince. Any idea, boys?
Nothing, but I had a guess.
Weren't they all the same year? Oh,
yeah, they were all the same year.
62.
Yeah, they were all the same year. 1958.
Oh.
I got MJ and Madonna I had. Paul Weller I had at 57. And Neil Finn I thought was a bit younger.
Yeah, I know. You'd think so, eh? Me too.
Yeah, because...
This is the younger brother.
Because I saw his first tour when I was a kid. He joined Split Enz on True Colors, and I saw them at the local Civic Center.
Yeah, I saw them at the Townsville Sound Shell, True Colors.
And they had Mal Green join the band, and Cliff Griggs, and he replaced Phil Judd.
That was a great concert.
They were.
History never repeats.
The band were really interesting because you know their haircuts. Before that, they were even wackier, right?
They had the really
wacky haircuts and stuff. It was all modeled on Mad Magazine from Don Martin's cartoons.
Oh.
That's where it all came from. Noel Crombie did it all, who played Spoons and Percussion.
Yeah, and that's that era that we talk about, Rossi, that's just so theatrical in Australian music. You know,
Skyhooks.
They were brilliant.
Mother Goose, Jimmy and the Boys.
Mother Goose, Jimmy and the Boys. Everyone had a little thing going.
Yeah,
Split Enz for True Colors actually had toned down.
Yeah,
because they were really wacky before that. Like they had an album, Mental Notes, Second Thoughts, with Late Last Night and all that sort of stuff. Or even there's a lot of stuff, and they had that real 1940s sort of thing going on.
Yeah,
they're brilliant, brilliant band. Still, like I think Neil and Tim are very, very good, really clever.
Absolutely, yeah,
very much.
But so they're all born in 58, all of them.
Yeah.
Which rock stars did these models marry? Heidi Klum.
Seal.
Correct. Seal. Yeah. Curly, have you got any of these you want to answer?
I did not get the first one, but that's all right.
Okay.
Second one, let's go with David Bowie.
With you, Iman.
Yay.
Correct. Well done.
Third one,
Jerry
Mick
Hall.
Jagger. Mick Jagger.
Yep.
Billy Joel.
Correct.
Yeah.
Rod Stewart.
Rachel Hunter. Yes.
Yep.
Paulina Periscova.
Rick Ocasek.
Yes. Boys, I just officially think you guys are like fashion experts.
I actually love the Cars.
I love the Cars, man. One of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah.
Okay, the last one.
Okay.
Johnny's in the basement mixing up the medicine.
Oh, I got a feeling I know this.
It's Bob Dylan, Subterranean Homesick Blues.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, miles away.
Here comes Johnny singing, I Got a Woman.
Lust for Life?
Here comes Johnny singing, I Got a Woman. Down in the woods is going to make it pay.
Yeah, I knew the song.
Walk of Life by Dire Straits. Poor old Johnny Ray.
Come on,
Dexys.
Yes. Well done, boys. Johnny Come Lately. Johnny Come Lately, the new kid in town.
Eagles.
New Kid in Town by the Eagles.
Yeah.
And the last one, I knew you wouldn't get that one. Last one.
Yeah.
Well, that chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face.
As complete I worship at the Church of Phil Lynott.
It's the boys are back in town by Thin Lizzy. Phil Lynott, well done, boys.
Ever.
So I got 5.5. I wouldn't call that well done, but anyway.
That is pretty shit, Curly, but you know what? It's all right. You got all the fashion ones.
All right. So the second part of the show is all about how fucking good was it for Braggy. So Braggy, rail motor. So I've got some photos lined up, so I don't know how you want to run with this. So what did you get up to over the Christmas break?
Well, with Rail Motor, the band that doesn't really play together but still comes together and makes records and does things, and this one of my best five mates in the world, apart from you two boys, we went up to Agnes Water like we did a couple of years ago, and we had some songs that I'd written and my brother had written, and we recorded them with Robbie Stanier, who brought his mobile studio, and we were lucky enough to get the school there, the Discovery Christian College, I think that's what it's called. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I should know that. Discovery Christian College. They let us record in their arts room or music room, which is like a little stage in there. It's a big room. You'll see the photos. Maybe put the photos up, Curly, and I'll tell you what they are if you want.
Okay.
I'll talk you through it.
Well, keep.
So we did this all in. We let ourselves 2 weeks. You know, 14 or 12 days to do it. We ended up doing it in 10, which was amazing because the boys were so well rehearsed. And they there's the room. Big, it's like a big triangle ceiling there, Curly, Rossi. So
I can see that.
And Robbie brought all his fantastic microphones, Neumanns, and God knows.
So who's in the shot?
So we've got Robbie here behind the keys, directing us.
Yeah,
behind the keyboards. People can't see it, but my nephew Marcus on the drums. That's Benny Rail Motor. So Bobby Rail Motor, Benny Rail Motor. Furthest away is my brother Jimmy Rail Motor, who is the spirit of Rail Motor. Johnny Rail Motor, or better known as Waxy, in his board shorts, probably just come out of the surf with the beautiful blue Fender. Yep. And that's me sitting down with the old telly and thongs on. No one's got shoes on.
Yeah, no one's got shoes on except
for you. We're at the coast. So that's the room. Really cool room.
Yeah.
And next.
Next Friday.
We recorded 15 songs in 10 days, pretty much. That's from behind the drums. Go again.
Okay.
We did a gig on New Year's Eve at a place there called – we did a gig, yeah. So that's only the – let me see. I can still count them on one hand, Rossi. That's the fourth Rail Motor gig. It was New Year's Eve at a place called Cody's. Shout out to Cody's if they ever listen to this. It's a great little – bar, come coffee shop in the morning, lunch. They serve really good chili. They make really good cocktails. The beach is just outside and about 20 yards up the road. So it's a fantastic venue. People come in off the beach in their togs. Really cool. That was New Year's Eve. Good gig. Good little sounding room. That's kind of early on at the start, but we had quite a few there. I'm just going to say the room only holds about maybe 50, so I reckon it's pretty full towards the end. Yeah. That's the band. So we've got Kat, who is a new addition to Rail Motor. Her name is Annie Rail Motor, and she came in and she sung a few songs. Her middle name's Anne. That's my brother, who's obviously taken the selfie, Jimmy, and there's me, and there's Robbie, and there's Wax and Marcus right at the back. And that's on Curly actually knows that spot. That's in the lab.
Yeah,
it's a Waxy's back balcony. You can see the medicinal. Ocean. You can see the ocean in the background where Waxy has his medicinals. Yeah, in the background there. And every morning we'd get up and walk down there and have a surf or a swim.
Yeah, interesting story is that Annie Rail Motor used to work with Sharon's sister in Townsville.
Oh, really?
So because
there's another connection.
I was bailed up by Julie is the sister-in-law, and she said, how do you know Cat Gunn? And how does Tate Bragg know Cat Gunn? So it was just such a small world. So well, Cat Gunn, Julie Crowley says hello if you're listening to
well,
this
there you go. Stuff. See, the thing with Cat was, like, I knew her from doing some theatre stuff. She was in the theatre. And then when we thought we needed some female vocals, Cat is also a massive cricket naffy. And so we'd always talk about cricket. And so the rest of the boys went, she's perfect.
Yeah, okay, my next question.
My
next question is, you recorded 13, 15 songs?
15 songs, yeah.
So what's your release strategy?
I'm following the school of Rossi. Now there's the 15 songs up on the whiteboard, and the circles mean that we've got bass tracks for them, and then we're crossing out the other little, like, the overdub parts as we go. So I think
once
the most we ever did was
songs done.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, it's a great bass and drum sound. I'm so happy with it for such a quick thing, and yeah. Robbie has really had not. Because it's recorded so well, he really hasn't had to do anything to it. So,
that's great that. News. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else have
and
we
then
got?
That's there you go. There's the drum setup.
Yeah.
There's the drum setup. And this is what we left them at the school, just to thank them. We also gave them quite a big donation as well. We gave them what we got paid for New Year's Eve. We just gave that to the school because they didn't want any money for the room for 10 days.
Wow.
So.
That's really nice. That's a really good thing to do.
So, Braggy, just read that out for the listeners listen.
Because this is their, obviously, a school room and a school arts room and theatre and music and everything else. The true purpose of arts education is not necessarily to create more professional dancers, artists or musicians. It's to create more complete human beings who are critical thinkers, who have curious minds, and lead productive lives.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we just need more funding for the arts. Anyway, that was my thing. So it was heaps of fun, and I'm just starting to get – Robbie's just starting to send through some things. Now, the strategy, Rossi, I'm going to follow your strategy, I think, and we're going to release 3 singles, maybe a couple of months apart, maybe less than a couple of months apart because we'll just get itchy.
Yeah,
and then we'll put an album out up on Spotify. And then hopefully we'll have some vinyl because we're going to go see our friends from Suitcase Records.
Suitcase Records. Yeah,
and I'm going to get them to make some vinyl. We have to go. I'm going to go up and see them in Brisbane. Hopefully, catch up with Curly when I'm up there in April.
April.
That is exciting. That is exciting.
Yeah.
I do hear talk that my good friends the Psychotic Turnbuckles maybe arriving in Brisbane mid-year.
Oh my!
Because this year is their 40th anniversary.
Oh. So, do you have any dates?
I will.
Do you know any of those guys? And can you get early dates?
I know the Sydney show will be the 13th of July because that is actually their 40th anniversary. So it'll be
maybe
a week or two either side around there, I'm thinking, because I might be doing Melbourne as well from what I hear.
Okay.
So my sources tell me.
Psychotic Turnbuckles. They're not coming for the belt, are they?
They have their own belt. No one has been able to take it from them. Never Curly, beaten, apparently.
Curly, I'm thinking you and I should go to Sydney in July.
Well, that's 2 weeks after Gold Coast Marathon, so that is a possibility. So,
yeah, you're in recovery mode. You won't have to train.
Yeah,
you're going to need recovery.
Yeah, that's exciting, Rossi. So, if you know someone who knows someone and they want a honest review of their show, I still get a bit concerned with because they are legends and they've been playing for so long. But they're still in Lycra, and that just sort of worries me, Rossi.
And if you do know someone who knows someone, Rossi, I have refereed basketball. I've never refereed
wrestling.
But
the Christmas show, Jesse the Intruder arrived on stage. in a complete Santa sleigh pulled by two go-go dancers with the number plate on the back that said Intruder One.
Just got to make Sydney happen, Curly and Rossi. It's going to happen in July. That's it.
Absolutely. Hey, before we sign off, I just want to show this for those people that are watching us on video. So this is a photo of the better half of me, Mrs. Curl, and of course we've got Katrina there. So you can see pretty well advanced in the pregnancy stages, and that just also blew me away about how awesome she was on the
well
night.
Done.
So
well done,
that looked like a fun gig, actually. That did look like fun.
Yeah. I mean, I invited the country music correspondent to come along, Braggy. He had granddad duties that night, so couldn't get there. So, and that happens, but I tell you what, he missed a great show. So
that is fantastic. Yeah. And yeah, look, again, the merch is where these guys make their money, and they need to eat and they need to be able to afford to keep playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really struck me during the show, Rossi, is that I really would have loved to have seen her at Gunnedah Town Hall with family, friends, and locals. And just to see the rapport that she had with the audience of Brisbane, and to see that would have been amplified in Gunnedah. So
would have been in like New South Wales.
Yeah, it would have been a triumphant return, so to speak. So,
yeah, I mean, I think so.
She had a sponsorship with Gunnedah Toyota, so she was driving around in a Toyota. It's, I mean, she's going places, this young lady. Well, so,
a woman I know from Gunnedah, her family owned the dealership down there.
True story. She's a wheeler dealer, though, like you said, like she's a hustler. She's a wheeler dealer, too.
She's got the hustle culture, man. She's got to make it work. Hustle.
Yeah.
Do the hustle.
So, and that's a good thing, and I guess it's a pressured thing as well, isn't it? You've just got to keep working to keep paying the bills.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she enjoys what she does as well. So.
Oh, man, obviously. Yeah. You don't do it if you don't, you know?
But it's great that she can, keep the walls from the door by doing it as well.
Absolutely. Hey, guys, it's been great catching up again. It's great to be back in 2024. How's the Big Bash final going, Braggy?
I don't know. I've lost connection.
Okay, that's all right. So,
I'll tune in.
Next week, Rossi has a chance to prove that Sydney are taking back the crown of the capital central point of Australian music. As we were talking off air, I don't know who's got it, if Sydney doesn't already have it, so it may already be a given. However, so next week we've got, we're hoping to have one of those young bands that are just starting this whole new wave of fresh music, aren't we?
Cool. Looking forward to that.
Should be pretty cool. Coming up in the next month, we're going to have Sweet Talk coming back. Once again, Braggy's big tip was they were going to do big things in Townsville. I think they've already done Tamworth. Big things. Tamworth, that's it. Tamworth.
No one does anything too big. There's one big thing coming to Townsville the next couple of days. Hey, I tell you, I just want to shout out to my friends in Townsville because they've got a cyclone coming towards them.
Yeah.
I like the culture of North Queensland people, especially people who are born and bred in Townsville.
Let's go. Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a category two. I asked a couple of people. So you guys, one of them was Rob Stanier. Are you guys prepared for the cyclone? And Rob said he'd been out to buy beer. And the other person I asked about said that it's only a category two. I've brought the wheelie bin in. They think there's probably some patio furniture get blown over.
They brought the wheelie bin in. That plays some indoor cricket.
And there's other people there, obviously, that move, tourists that have moved there from Melbourne and haven't been there. They're like buying up fucking toilet rolls and shit. It's going crazy.
There's a guy on TikTok, and I think his handle is Crackerjack or something. and he's doing live crosses. So he's on Maggie Island, and you know the stretch of beach at Horseshoe. And he's doing live crosses direct from the cyclone. And of course, it's a beautiful day. The water's clear.
There'll be people out there surfing when it crosses. You watch. Anyway,
to everyone up north who's listening to this, we hope that you get through the cyclone, be safe, and all that sort of stuff. Lizzie Jack are coming on the podcast to talk about what they've got planned for 2024. They know they're the big tip from Curly, so let's see. Maybe they can be part of the Sydney revival. Who knows? So, hey, guys, been awesome to catch back up with you. Lovely. And for everyone that's listened and tuned in, please like and review, subscribe. We want to have a big year in 2024. We want to do what we do with the bands that we love and take it to the next level. It really helps everyone. It helps the bands. It helps us. We just enjoy what we do, but it helps us help the band. So if you've liked and listened and enjoyed, please like, subscribe, leave a review, always a bonus. We're on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. We've got a website, Unfiltered, Undiscovered. Every bit of music we talk about goes into the Spotify playlist under Unfiltered and Discovered, of course. And lyrics from the playlist this week come from the Ritzy Kids, that Central Coast band that we know and love, and it's one of their very first single, and Braggy would remember Breakthrough. And the lyrics are, dream big, you can make it happen. Don't stop, you're a chance of breaking through. And that's how we're going to start the year. We're going to break through, and we're going to help so many young bands, new bands, fresh bands, get their music discovered and hopefully help them break through. From all of us here at the Unfiltered, Undiscovered podcast, I hope you've enjoyed it, and have yourselves a great week until we catch up next week with What's Good Doing Sydney. So thanks for listening. We'll talk soon.
See you guys.